This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy 94.9 at Princess Hill Secondary College. Oh, I love it. I thought you guys left.
I thought you guys got told off for a bit, actually. Still going strong, that's what we like to see. And who are we joined with at the moment, Kyle? We have
Fiona Patton from the Australian Sex Party. Welcome.
Thank you very much. This is great. I'm glad I brought my jumper.
Oh. Rubbing in all this cold weather. Firstly, tell us a little bit about your background before politics.
It's very impressive.
Really? Yeah, not my parents didn't quite agree with you on that one. Look, I've worked as an advocate for sex and health issues. Gosh, for a very long time. Yep. I started at the AIDS Council, working on HIV and AIDS issues. Worked with workers in sex employment around legalising brothels in the ACT. Then went on to sort of do that nationally.
Yes.
Then we set up the Eros Association, which is an industry association for the adult industry.
Yep.
So it's just to provide a voice against the Fred Niles of this world and, well, the Family Firsts of this world, but they weren't there then.
How are you received? You know, now, obviously, I'm going to suggest that we're more open-minded and broad-minded about those issues than before, but when you were starting out, how were you received with your views?
I think my grandmother probably was told the best story. She was, because I used to go on television quite a lot in those, you know, local TV, and my granny had just moved to Australia, and she used to say, look, I never listen to what you say, but you always look nice. So I think that was actually quite a lot of how people dealt with it. You know,
thank God for the mute button. That,
sure, something needs to happen, but we're just going to look over here now.
The pretty girl, you know?
Yeah.
Well, from all that, I suppose it's the background of leading an industry like that and making sure that something's being done. Politics would be the obvious choice.
Yeah, look, since I started the Eros Association, I mean, really, my main job has been talking to politicians about sex. And
a subject they're most obviously getting a lot of.
Exactly. So generally speaking, they would just get really nervous. But what I found is that, you know, while the community, and you're quite right, the community is so much more open now than it was 10, 20 years ago, but our politicians aren't. And so while the community is going one way, our laws and government policy seems to be going in the opposite direction. And like the number of times that I would have a politician say to me, Fiona, I totally agree with what you're saying. Like, this makes sense. But I hold this seat by 8% and there's a church down the road. If I support this, the church will campaign against me and I might lose my job. So I'm just not going to do anything on this issue.
Yeah.
It's kind of like one of those, you know, struggling, someone has to go first, you know. It's like the climate change policies, you know, someone has to be the first to take the plunge.
Exactly.
And set the precedent for other people to follow. Otherwise, it's right.
That's right. And the shame of the matter is on climate change or on same-sex marriage or on all of those issues that the majority of the population wants change.
Yeah.
You know, they want something to happen. But politicians are frightened of the minority and frightened of the small groups of people that, you know, whether it's big oil companies may withdraw funding, or whether it's church groups that may withdraw votes. And because they're vying for marginal seats and every single vote counts, they try and, you know, travel down this line down the middle, so they try not to offend anyone, which means they don't really achieve anything.
Yeah, and particularly in this day and age when church and state are still sort of fused. I mean, they're pulling apart gradually, but still they're fused enough that it's certainly risky to try and, you know, come out and be the first one, so to say, come out and say, you know, let's separate.
That's right, and it doesn't kind of make sense because, I mean, well, 38% of politicians in federal parliament say that they are part of the Parliamentary Christian Fellowship, I think it is. So that means they go to church every week and pray each morning. And I think it's probably last count, it was like less than 8% of Australians.
It's a hectic schedule.
Yeah, that's right, to fit that in and govern the country.
Yeah.
But less than 8%. And so I don't think that's really reflective of the largely secular society that we live in. Yet so many of policies, whether it's euthanasia, drug law reform, same-sex marriage, censorship, are all influenced by Christian groups.
Yeah, it's interesting for me. I said on my show last night that in my mind, the main political parties that are at the forefront at the moment, I don't agree with a lot of things that they have, and some things I do agree with. But it's interesting in my mind, and all the people I know would probably agree with me and most of your policies. Well, it's common sense policies.
That's right. And when you look at, I mean, I had that debate with Wendy Francis on Family First.
Best bit of television.
I was getting tweets and retweets on Twitter days after.
Yeah, it certainly did a lot for our web stats, that's for sure, on our website. But, you know, I was making this point, trying to make this point, saying, look, the majority of Australians support changes to the Marriage Act.
Yep.
And she said, but that's not the mainstream. Well, hang on, it is the mainstream. Mainstream should be majority. But there seems to be this notion that just because the majority of people want this doesn't mean that it's the right thing to do. And I tend to disagree with that.
I'm always shocked when we say, you know, we're very much a church state country and we still follow very Christian beliefs and all the rest of it. Yet a state like Victoria, we've moved on from having the crown in our logo. We've moved on from old beliefs and policies where, you know, the royals family is still moving on.
Yep.
Yet this is one thing that keeps coming up and coming up.
And we're supposed to be a secular society. I mean, it's actually within our constitution to a degree. I mean, we don't have the same sort of separation of church and state like a country like the United States does. But we do have that separation. So it's really out of kilter, I think, with our society.
Yep.
It seems definitely backwards. I mean, we have a female prime minister. Mm-hmm. You know, we're progressive in so many ways. It seems that it's sort of just odd, really.
That's right. And I don't think it's not in line with where the community is. You know, so that's why I think it's really strange that, you know, we're still, our politicians spend so much time worrying about what church groups will say.
Yep.
That they kind of ignore the rest of it.
Yep, absolutely. Let's go to a song. We'll come back and we're going to be talking about your national sex education policy, which is brand new. It's hot off the press. We'll go to a song, come back. John Only 4.9. We're at Princess Hill Secondary College. Coming back with Fiona Patton in just a moment.
Joy 94.9.
Live and loud from Princess Hill Secondary College.
Princess Hill Secondary College. It's where we are. Joy 94.9. Speaking to Fiona Patton from the Australian Sex Party. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Now, today's a very big day for you in your campaign because you launched a brand new policy today. Yeah. So tell us all about that.
Look, it's probably, you know, one of the more important policies out of, you know, a whole range of policies that the Sex Party is standing for. But it's our National Sex Education Curriculum Policy. And it's about saying, you know what? I know everyone needs to learn maths, and we now have a national curriculum, but we think that sex education should be included in that national curriculum. And it shouldn't just be what I learned at school, like how to spell fallopian tube.
Yeah.
I think I've used it in a crossword once, but that's about it. But it's to bring it, so we want to bring around the development of a national sex education curriculum that is comprehensive, that deals with relationships, not just the biology of it, that deals with, certainly that deals with peer pressure, that deals with issues of consent, that definitely deals with issues of sex and gender diversity, the emotional aspects of sex, the decision makings, of course, safe sex, sexual health, those things, but also to look at kind of, I guess, in teaching it and starting really young, that you can kind of remove, which is what this school's been doing very successfully, remove some of that sort of shame and isolation about people who identify differently.
Yeah, what age do you think it should start to be taught?
Personally, I think it should start at kindergarten.
Yep.
Yeah, age appropriate, of course, but let's start having that conversation so you don't start saying, right, now you're 13 and your hormones are raging.
It's awkward.
Now we'd like to talk about something really personal. I don't think that's the way to do it. And these days as well, when you think, like, the amount of media that kids see these days and the amount of, you know, information that is just everywhere, we need to be giving kids really frank and good, honest information right from the get-go.
And you know, we were talking to Gemma before, we need it to be correct information. There are so many misinformed things. There's euphemisms that are going out there. There's things that just simply aren't true. And that's how you get things, that's how words like, oh, that's pretty gay, come into the vocabulary because people are so uninformed.
Exactly. And if we start at primary school, so if we start with good information, and I think that will also, when you look at things like sexual violence and sexual abuse, I mean, sexual violence quite often is just, it's frustration. And I truly believe that if we really start sex education young and talk about relationships, we'll reduce sexual abuse. Hopefully, we'll put an end to child sexual abuse as well, or provide children with the words to talk about it. You know, less unwanted pregnancies. You know, we're still seeing chlamydia rates increase in our society. We're seeing HIV increasing in our society now, when you think everyone should be pretty, like, you know,
aware of it. Yeah.
But it's obviously not going through to as well as it should be.
It's about, you know, it's about the moment. People know, but do people really understand?
That's right. And I think we've, like, every school has, you know, that it's within the curriculum, the health curriculum, that you should teach this. But, and I'm sure that this school does it brilliantly and talks about the whole range of, from relationships through to sexual health, through to the biology of it. But other schools won't.
Yeah,
you know, and you think exclusive Brethren schools or some of the Catholic schools, they're just not going to feel comfortable giving that information. And I think, frankly, I think we should make them.
Fantastic.
Definitely.
We've got to wrap up.
Yeah.
Get on to the live music.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to hearing it.
The website for the sex party is www.sexparty.org.au.
That's correct.
And the policy will be on there. I'm guessing the full policy. So I suppose it's such an important thing. Education is always the focus with any election. Especially this year, there's so many different things that we're covering and we're hearing about.
Yeah.
So leaps and bounds.
Not, I think we're probably the only one that's putting sex in front of education.
Yeah.
But you know what? I reckon there's a lot of people that they would that would speak to.
Exactly.
Yeah, I hope so.
No,
yeah, I really hope so.
If you haven't watched the debate from Channel 7, watch it. Oh, God. I've watched it like a thousand times.
YouTube. But thank you very much for joining us
thank
today.
Thank you very much, guys. Thanks.
Fiona Patton, we're here at Princess Hill Secondary College. We're coming back very shortly with a lot of live music. Amber's here and a couple of great students as well. So we'll be hearing from them soon. Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9. Live and loud from Princess Hill Secondary College. Celebrating LGBT youth and diversity. Joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.